Let's cheer for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good morning, church. Merry Christmas, everybody. Wow, great. So great to have all of you come and worship with us this morning. Friends from near and far, welcome home. It's so good to have you home for Christmas, really. You know, if this goes on like that, probably, you know, we have to put more chairs. If you don't have a chair to sit, the staircase would be a good place to sit at, you know, on. And we have got an overflow room, a hall that sits about 300 over the other side of the building, and all the audio, video actually goes in there. Who knows, next year we might do that. Now, it's just so good to have you come back for Christmas. This is so, so wonderful. I've got a very close friend of mine who is visiting from Canada, Lu Hingwing. Where are you, Lu? Hey, Hingwing, where are you? Can you stand? Oh, up right there. Okay, hey, welcome back. Great. You know, when Pastor Ignatius asked us to watch a very quick video, it was so quick that I kind of missed it. And then as I sat there, you know, I said to myself, how good it would be if I were to preach a quick sermon. And then we all can go back for Christmas. Now, Christmas is all about giving. It's a time of giving and receiving. And you know what? When it comes to giving gifts, there's no other occasion than that of Christmas. The retail world knows it far too well. And Christmas is the best time of the year to make money. Now, though Christmas to a large extent has been commercialized, yet the idea of buying and giving gifts have never changed throughout ages. It has been projected that for the year 2019, that's this year, industry experts expect the average American, I'm not sure about Malaysian, but the Americans are just great in statistics, and it says the average American will spend $920 American dollars each person on holiday gifts, you know, and it's up from $885 in 2018. And you know what? Spending is expected in this Christmas season to reach $1 trillion American dollars this year. That's how much they're going to spend. So Christmas is all about giving. Giving of gifts. So simple yet, right? But yet so complicated. Finding that perfect, meaningful gift is so hard, isn't it? Now, there's one thing I don't like about Christmas. I like receiving gifts. I don't like giving gifts, not because I'm stingy, but because it's so hard to find the perfect gift. Now, I've got a gift here, and I've got something else there. All right? Now, guess what it is? iPhone. Oh, iPhone is here. Almost. Now, between this and this, this is so much easier to do. You know, trust the Chinese. They have great ideas, always works, never fails. You know, they're always talking about money. Someone says the only thing straight about a Chinese man or businessman is his hair. That meant to be a joke, actually. You know, now I want to give away this ang pao to the youngest person in the front row, and that would excluding them. You know, when I was just worshiping God, I caught this young boy at the corner of my eye, and I said, I want to give this ang pao to you. No, you're not the youngest. That one there. Sorry about that. Oh, great. Merry Christmas! Oh, great! Now, what about this gift? This gift I cannot give away because I didn't come prepared. So, this morning when I thought of this, I looked in my room and I saw this gift and someone gave it to Monica. So, I cannot give this gift away. Trust a Chinese preacher. Now, we got magnets love, joy, peace, and hope. If I were to ask you, what would you want for Christmas, this Christmas season? I think the answer is very varied, depending on our needs at that point in time. I want to read to you this Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 14. It says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Bethlehem in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He was there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no more room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" And we did sing that this morning. Glory to God in the highest. We pick up those madness, love, joy, peace, and hope. I was desperately looking for the word hope. And all the hope has been taken. The love has been left behind. The peace has been left behind. And I guess, hope is that one thing we all look forward to. And Christmas is everything. Yes, it's about love, about peace, about joy. But when Jesus came, he came to give mankind hope. He gave us hope. Now, let me start with love. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior is born, and a Savior is born." On the first Noel, on the first Christmas, God gave us a gift, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. When God gave us His Son, it was the extreme and the ultimate expression of His love for us. Because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world," simply meaning you and I, "He gave His Son so that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but would have everlasting life." This is God's greatest expression of love, because He gave up His one and only Son. Almost like, a repeat, because the Old Testament always foreshadowed the New Testament. For God, when He called Abraham to sacrifice His son Isaac, it was His one and only son. If Isaac had 12 sons or 13 sons or 14 sons, you know how hard it is to raise children these days? You say, "Yeah, he knows, I had my grandchildren just yesterday, just for a few hours. I'm tired out." And if you got about 13 children or 12 children, if God asks you for one of your many children, you'll probably say, "God, take a few more." All right? But it was one and only. And then Abraham did that. And then God did that when He gave Jesus to us. Today, you see, friends, in the day of email, e-commerce, and e-what have you, God gave us Emmanuel. God with us. The greatest expression of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. See, when God gave us His Son, Jesus was the exact replica of God the Father. And He said, while on earth, He says, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." We cannot see God because God is spirit. But Jesus came to live just like you and I, born into this world, as Max Lucado says, God in an embryo, divinity putting on humanity. No, in human likeness, but in sinless humanity. And Jesus, when he walked the face of this earth, he was an exact replica of God the Father. And no wonder it says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you don't want to know God, you know, you need to know this person, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, God is love. And so when God gave Jesus, you know, he wasn't just giving us an expression of his love, he gave himself as love to each one of us. The second word is joy. And I know I gave a lot of thought to this word joy, and I kind of suspect that if you were to give a lot of thought and some thought to this word joy, you'll probably find yourself, as I found myself in this seat, where it was so difficult to express joy, because what is joy? And I've heard throughout my 40 years of Christian living, the joy in the Christian context, in the Christian world, is not happiness. It's more than happiness. But what is joy? If I were to ask you and come right now, if I give you a microphone, what is joy? Probably you'll be fumbling for words. What is really joy? Some say joy isn't happiness. Then what is it? It's a very hard word to describe, especially in the Christian context. If you ask the non-Christian, it says, oh, joy is happiness. Or joy is gladness. Joy is this. But we always say joy is not just happiness. And we used to say that joy is happiness is dependent on the outward circumstance. If everything is good, then we are happy. Everything is bad, we are not happy. All right? But joy is more than just happiness. All right? So what really is joy? You see, friends, it is a deep-seated happiness. A deep-seated happiness. For I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. And joy is this, is a deep-seated happiness. It is not circumstantial. It's happiness, all right, but it's not fleeting. It's not circumstantial. It is deep-seated. So in the midst of difficulties and challenges, you know, we can still be joyful. Because this happiness is not dependent on the outward circumstances that confront us. What is joy? Joy is this. It is the gladness of heart. I gave a lot of thought to it and I came up with these two sentences. You know, deep-seated happiness and the gladness of heart. You understand me? When things are not going well, when everything seems to be falling apart, when we are stricken with a terrible disease, or, you know, a fatality in a road accident, whatever it may be. You know, yes, we feel sad, but yet there's always the sense of hope, the sense of joy, a deep-seated happiness, you know, and then there's the gladness of heart. The gladness of heart. God is a great God. He wants to give us that joy. I was talking to somebody recently who something not good happened to her, and while overseas, you know, someone she encountered a snatch thief. You know, she kind of broke her arm and she had bruises all over. She showed us photographs, and when I look at the photograph, it's as though like someone has punched her and hit her and battered her. And her husband jokingly says, "You know, domestic violence, not the doing of the husband." All right. No, but there was no fear in her. When she went back to the place again, you know, went back to the city again because of the husband's work, and she just walked the street. In fact, the doctors and the medical people and the church people said, there must be something special about this girl. She knows God. And that wasn't the end of the world. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't traumatized. You know, I know everyone processed situation like this differently. But for her, you know, there was that deep-seated gladness. You know, which the world cannot give. That's the joy of the Lord. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how needful it is. Now, how do you cope? Once I was just visiting with a family. The husband had terminal cancer. The family just came to church very recently. And I look her in the eye. I said, thank God that we know God as our Savior. If not for God, it'd be so much more difficult, you know. And she says, yes, it's so true. I just gave her a glance just now. You know, it's so true. It's so true. You know, husband passed away. Today, the family, the entire family, is attached to the church, serving God. And then one day she testified, I think she also said that during the funeral, wake service, and especially in one of our Christmas services, she says that the best thing the husband did for her and the family was to introduce them to this God, Jesus, the giver of joy. Joy is a flag flown high from the castle of our heart. Those good old time favorites. Oh, worship team, no, bring those songs back again. Amen. You know, it's okay to sing all those the new songs, you know. When joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart, when the song was first introduced, it was so new that those hymnous people who sang hymns said, what? What kind of chorus is that? We said, a joyful chorus. And then as time went on, you know, that song that was the top hit, the number one, faded out. See, what's contemporary today is not relevant tomorrow. But yet there are some good old songs, simple enough that any one of us who are not musicians or musically inclined or wider up, know we can walk out and sing, joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, joy is the flag flown high. From the castle of my heart, where the king is in residence there. So lift it high in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. So lift it high in the sky, let the whole world know, where the king is in residence there. Where the king is in residence there. Joy is a flag flown high. Now, it's okay to sing all the songs. I love you did so well, worship team, this morning. Let's give them a hand. Seriously. The marriage between the old and the new, just so amazing. So joy. Peace. Glory to God on high and peace to earth, to us on earth. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. This is the Christmas message. As far as God is concerned, it's glory to Him. As far as our part is concerned, peace on earth, goodwill to men. God comes, and He comes to give us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Right towards the end of His life, and in fact, during His resurrection, after His resurrection, He walked into a room full of fearful disciples. And when He stepped into the room, the first thing He said to them is, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Peace be unto you. Jesus said to the disciples, do not be afraid. If you believe in God, believe also in me. What's peace? Peace is not the absence of problems or difficulties or challenges. The book of Job says, man born of women is full of trouble. That's the only way man can be born of women. And nothing no reflection on the badness of women. You know, but the natural is, as long as you have experienced the natural, but as long as you're a human being, you know, man born of women is full of trouble as the sparks fly downwards or upwards? Come on. Upwards. You know, you have a campfire, you know, have logs and charcoal burning. You stoke it with a stick. You see sparks. It flies upward. As surely as sparks will fly up, as surely, you know, you will know, you know, that you will have trouble from the time you are born. And yet, you know, it's not an absence of problems or difficulties. Peace is the presence of God. I once read this funny story where someone was, you know, he walked off the cliff, and then as he fell, you know, he caught hold of a branch, a little tree that stuck out of the cliff, of the rocks. And then he started screaming, "Is there anyone up there? Please help!" And a voice echoed back. And it was God speaking. "It's me. Let go. I will catch you." And you know what this guy say? "Is anyone else up there?" Friends, let me say this to you. When the cup is pulled out of your feet, and when God is the only thing you have, then God is the only person you need in life. No others. No, He gives us the sense of peace. So here we are. Hope. Hope. In Luke chapter 2, we read, "An angel of the Lord began to appear before them. The glory of God shone around them." And the Bible says, "And they were terrified." Today, we live in a world where, you know, phobia hits, you know, panic attack hits so many people. Seriously, when I was growing up as a young child, as a young adult, I never heard of a phobia. I never heard of panic attack. You know, today we have all kinds of sicknesses. Panic attack, for no reason, suddenly you become fearful. Fearful of this, fearful of that, fearful of everything. And you're in a doubt. And you cannot trace where this fear came from, or where it started, but you just cannot understand. You know, it's so irrational, that's phobia, for no apparent reason. Terrified. And then Jesus says, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Do not be afraid." And it's so good when we are afraid, when we go to when we navigate uncertain territories and waters, you know, deep waters, to hear God saying to us, "Do not be afraid." You see, hope is something to look forward to and to live for. Why do people commit suicide? Jump off tall building, walk into deep waters, pull a trigger with a gun pointed in their head or into their throat. Simply because they say, "This is the end of it all. And I come, there's no other avenues of help." And friends, if you are one person thinking of that, taking your life, I want you to know that your life is more precious than you think it is. Because God has got a plan for you. Plan not to harm you, not plan not to destroy you, but plan to give you a hope and a future. And God says to you, "Do not be afraid." This morning is a great opportunity for us to turn our troubles, our difficulties, you know, over to God and says, "God, I surrender it all to you, you know, and it is, you know, I want you to take my troubles and difficulties." She is saying, "Grandpa, continue preaching. Continue preaching." That's what she is saying. And she is saying, "That's so true. I don't understand him, but that's so true." And sometimes you don't understand God. You see, in matters pertaining to God, don't try to figure Him out up here. Experience Him down here in your heart. Because this God has come down. God knew, and that's why He came down to be born as a baby, to live like us. So the Bible says we have got a great high priest who understands, you know, who is filled with empathy, not apathy, you know, and He has come near. A God who has drawn near. And so, as we receive this gift this morning, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, we're going to reciprocate that gift. There's so many for us, for those of us who are Christians, who know so well, too well, what I'm talking about, because you've experienced all of these. Friends, there are so many out there in the world who do not know God. And Jesus is the true meaning of Christmas. He came so as to die in our places and for our sins, so we can have hope, we can experience peace, we can experience joy, you know, we can experience His love. It was Dr. Billy Graham, the late Dr. Billy Graham, who says that until and unless we have made peace with God, we cannot experience the peace of God. If we are at war with God, we cannot experience His peace. So this morning is a great opportunity for us, those of us that walked away from God, and somehow this morning you walked into church. And we want you to know that God pursues after you. God is ever looking out. And when you take one step towards God, God takes many, many more steps towards you. And so this morning, I want you to sit back and I want this song, you know, to minister to you. Just sit back. Just maintain this attitude of worship, of expectancy, and then let this song minister to you. The light of the world. Would you just kindly stand with me this morning as we bring this service to a close? I think with that kind of a song, we cannot help but to respond to God. Some of us, like I said, we have walked away from God this morning for whatever reason. Even we ourselves are surprised we have walked back into church. And you know what? God is calling you back. And as you take one step towards Him, just like the father of the prodigal son, he ran towards Him in that return journey. He didn't wait. He didn't sit on his high chair and wait. He ran towards Him. And there's a song we used to sing here in this church about God running after us, His goodness running after us. God pursues us. He finds us, seeks us out. And this morning, won't you just turn your life back to God once again? It's amazing how the love of God, like I said earlier, that when you need not have to try to understand in things pertaining to God, don't try to figure God up here in your head. Understand Him down here in your heart. I think of this man, David Wilkinson, pastor, wrote the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, the late David Wilkinson, pastor a church in New York City called Times Square Church, attended the church before. And for years, God has used him so marvelously. But it was not until very late in his life and ministry, you know, he discovered that God really loves him. He functioned most of his life very legalistic. Just can't that do this, you know. And so, you know, he was so structured in life that his relationship with God was, you know, he never felt, despite him preaching the gospel of love, he never really felt that God really loved him. Always felt that he needs to prove himself to God. But you know, in the later years of life, he began to discover, you know, and that set him so free, at liberty. I'm not just talking about him, I'm just talking about myself. 7-odd years ago, you know, I came to this realization that God loves me like crazy. I just cannot explain it. Known God for 40 years now, anymore. But 7+ years ago, I realized God loves me like crazy. And you know, and that revelation, not just here, but in here, transformed me as a person, found my identity. You know, I'm a different person. I know it. And maybe some of us are like that, been in church for so long. You need to rediscover God's love, maybe. You know that God loves you, but somehow we feel that we have to prove ourselves to God. There's nothing to prove. When God spoke to Jesus those words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus has not preached his first sermon yet. Jesus, in fact, has not done anything just yet. But God says, "This is my beloved Son." And God is saying to you, it's not dependent on what you did or did not do or how, you know, well you did something. God loves you just as you are. He loves you for who you are. That's the starting point. And then all other things follow. Maybe there are some others here who have not given your life to Jesus. You just walk into church. You know it's a Christmas, you know, a season, and you have heard that Agape do so many good musicals, and you thought it's a musical too, you know, and you walk in this morning, no mistake. Maybe this morning is the best time for you to turn your life over to Jesus. So let me lead you in this prayer. And whichever part fits you, you can pray the whole prayer, it's fine too. Then just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas, for coming into my life, for making yourself real to me. Thank you for this service, for your word that's been preached, for the song that was sung towards the end, for speaking into my life. This morning, I want to receive the gift of love, joy, peace, and hope. And I know that if I receive Jesus Christ, I receive all of this. So, dear God, dear Jesus, come into my life and let me experience you most of all. And then your love, your peace, your love, your hope, and your joy. From today onwards, let me experience you more and more. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen.